How to Buy a Business, Part 3. Hopefully you watched the other two parts, where in Part 1 we talked about how do you go find a business, how do you begin the conversation. Part 2 was talking about, okay, how do you structure the deal, or how do you put the pieces together so you can have a productive conversation with the potential seller. And by the time you get down to Part 3, which is what we're talking about right now, what do you do next? How do you hit the ground running? How do you make the most of this newfound opportunity that you've outlined the deal on? So by this part, you may or may not have already put together a buy-sell agreement, or you might be in the process of working on it, or maybe you're pushing back and forth a letter of intent or a memorandum of understanding or something that says, hey, we're doing this deal together. But you have found a way to say to the potential owner, hey, can I come hang out in the business? I'd like to show up once a week for the next couple of weeks. I won't, I'll sign all the confidentiality, NDA, non-disclosure stuff so that you're comfortable, but I would just like to hang out. I just would like to learn something. The reason this is important, it's going to cost you some time because you have to make time to do it. But here's what happens. Everything we've talked about so far assumes that you have not spent any time in the business. You probably have looked maybe at some financial statements. You've spent a lot of time with the owner talking about the guts of the business, but it has all been done through the eyes of the owner. And every owner is going to have their own bias about how great their business is, how awesome their team is, how great their resources are, how perfect their software is. I can guarantee you that you're going to have a very different opinion about all of those same things. And the best way to form an opinion is to ask to hang out in the business. So while you're waiting for everything to kind of come together, you are going to want to spend some time in the business. And the reason for that is because there are things that don't show up on a spreadsheet. For example, you might find out that Johnny and Adam really don't like each other. Now, they put on a good face for the owner, but every week that you show up, you seem to notice that people are letting down their guard and they're starting to really tell you a lot about who they are. They're starting to tell you a little bit about the customer database. They're telling you about vendors and suppliers, and you just start to get kind of a visceral sense of the business. Now, the reason you're doing this is you kind of want to observe, what are you walking into? You've just decided that, not just, but you've decided that this is a business you want to purchase. You're already hammering out some of the details, but for an hour a week or a couple of hours a week, you're sitting in the business. And to begin with, everyone's going to be friendly and everyone's going to like you, or some people may not, but no one's going to be their true selves. But if you keep showing up week after week, eventually you're really going to start to get a feel for what you have to work with. Not only the people, but the resources and the process, and based on your particular experience or knowledge, because again, what you're bringing to the table is sweat equity. You're looking to improve the value of this business, get paid for the increase in value that you have created, and pay the owner for the value that they have created over the lifetime that they have owned it. So as you observe your new business, and you should have some regular schedule for which you're doing that, or have a way to find all of the things that don't fit on a spreadsheet or in a financial statement, you're then going to want to decide, okay, what culture do I want? Is everyone that is here today, do they reflect me as the owner? Do they reflect the kind of business I would like to build? Do they reflect us taking advantage of everything? Are we as friendly with customers as we could be? Are we as friendly with vendors as we could be? Is friendly even something we should be in this particular kind of business? So by observing what's going on, you then get to decide, what are you going to do when you step in there? And by spending some time with the business, you'll start to formulate that. And then you're going to want to evaluate what your next steps are. You might say to yourself, okay, you know, I'm not really going to mess with the team a whole lot. What I am going to mess with, though, are the processes. I am, you know, in the example I gave in part two, the particular individual I was speaking to had run a digital marketing agency. So from a software and a systematization and a marketing and a Google perspective, he already knew exactly what he would do from day one going into this business. Not that he himself was going to do it, but he was going to teach the team how to do it. And in teaching the team how to do it, obviously, he's going to discover that not everyone likes him. Not everyone works well with him. As an owner, he's probably going to get some resistance from this little group of people over here or this individual over here. And so now he's got to think through how's he going to address that? Is he going to get rid of people? Is he going to keep people? But basically what you're trying to figure out is, okay, now that I've kind of got a visceral sense of the business, I've been spending some time with some of the key players in the business, but I have found, believe it or not, just drinking a cup of coffee, sitting at one of the desks or in one of the offices or even in a hallway and not necessarily interacting directly with the staff, you pick up all sorts of stuff that you're never going to find on a financial statement, which tells you a lot. You'll end up recognizing who the gossiper is in the office. You'll recognize who people trust in the office to get really straight answers from. You will learn what they think of the business. You will discover things like, you know, after listening to them talk to a bunch of customers on the phone, you're going to start realizing that, wow, we're really leaving a lot of opportunity here. We're not asking for referrals. We're not asking for them to rate or review us. Heck, when they call, we don't even ask how they heard about us. So you're going to start to just observe a lot of things as you sit and hang out in the environment. So when you're going down the road of buying a business, how you want to hit the ground running is, or in my experience anyways, you don't want to make it a quick switch, unless maybe that's the deal you've structured. But assuming for the moment that this isn't the kind of deal you've structured a deal where the owner isn't leaving tomorrow. They're going to be around for some amount of time. You're going to look to improve the value of the business, and that's really what's going to pay for the owner to leave. You now want to figure out, okay, what changes are you going to make, or what's your strategy going to be? And the best way to start doing that is just to start hanging out in the business on a very regular basis. And I would begin by just hanging out. I would begin by then starting to engage with some of the people. And every time you leave that environment, write down what you observed, write down what you noticed, and then that should begin to formulate a plan. Because of the nature of what I do, most of where I begin is on the finance side. The very first thing I do is we start looking at the books. We start figuring out, are bank reconciliations done? Is the P&L categorized properly? Does the balance sheet even make sense? Because most small businesses have financial statements that just are not up to date. If they are up to date, they're usually not presented properly. And if they are presented properly, they're usually not telling you the things that you really want to know about the business. So for me, I start from the finance perspective, work my way into operations, and then work my way into sales and marketing. Other people are going to do it a little differently. The fellow that I met with last week, he's going exactly the other way, because the kind of deal he's going to put together with the owner is a deal that sees him increase the revenue of the business. That increase, he gets to take the profit from it, and then the rest of the business gets to continue to do what it's done since the owner started it. So his motivation is to start with marketing, work his way into sales, get into operations, and then he's going to rely on the people in his network and in the business to help him with the finance piece. So the point of part three was to say, what do you do with the business? How do you start figuring out what your strategy is? And I'm recommending that you hang out like a fly on the wall, then you start engaging with the people. But every single time you leave that environment, you start making a note of the things that stood out to you, the very obvious places that you are going to lean in and provide some improvement and some direction. And then you start putting your plan together. And as you put your plan together, hopefully it lines up with the deal that you have structured for the owner. And you might say, Dylan, what does that even mean? Well, if it turns out, in the example I gave, that this particular individual was able to double sales in 1 year, but he has a 2-year buyout with the owner, what he could choose to do, depending on how he structured the deal, is he may say, wow, I hung out like a fly on the wall. I learned about the business. I sort of took in the culture. Then I started executing on a marketing and a sales plan, and I was able to drive revenue. While driving revenue, I was able to figure out where the rest of the pieces needed to fit in the business. And it turns out I don't need the owner to hang around for another year. So he can keep taking his salary. Maybe I will accelerate the payment to him, and he can now exit in 6 months instead of 12 months later. So there's lots of different things that can happen, but that should be your goal. As the acquirer, as the purchaser of this business, you really want to use the time that you have to come up with your plan. I have known lots of entrepreneurs that have purchased businesses with no plan. They've just said, yeah, I bought it. Yeah, I got vendor financing. Don't really have a plan. We're just going to figure it out as we go. For sure, that's a strategy. That's a strategy used by many. But if you want to improve the chances of your success and really generate a lot of cash as you do this, to take the time to sit in the deal, to sit in the business, to really think through it. And you don't have to give yourself lots of time, but you should give yourself weeks, you know, 30 days, 45 days, just to get a sense of the business, and then a strategy that would see you really hit the ground running so that within a year of purchasing it, you were able to transition the responsibilities from the owner over to you, and you were able to form it and put your fingerprints on it. One caveat, one thing I'm going to mention that has continued to come back and bite me is setting expectations. And even not setting expectations is setting expectations. And the reason why this is so tricky is because people will take you at your word. When you first come into the business, they're going to evaluate you. And if you don't set the tone, then the tone will be set. And if after the owner, the previous owner has left and you're with, you now have control over the business and you haven't set the expectations, that's the wrong moment to do it. And what you're going to find is all of the work that you put into getting your hands on the business, getting your hands into the business, watching the existing owner walk away, all of that can be undone. And it can be very difficult to get the business back on track if you haven't set expectations. And so what does that mean? That means being honest with the team that you're about to inherit to say, here's why I'm buying this business. This, you know, referring back to part one and part two. This is the industry. This is why I love it. This is why this business appealed to me. Here's what I'm hoping to get out of it. Here's what I'm prepared to put into it. Here's how I'm going to be acquiring it. And so therefore, my expectation is that as I work with every one of you, here's what we're working towards. And like every good entrepreneur, if you watch all the other videos and listen to all the other podcasts, you have to have an end game. You have to know what you're working towards. And so setting expectations with this new team that you're about to hire is, it's better to do that earlier than later. And it's better to do it than to not do it and to just let expectations take shape. You'll save yourself a lot of headaches. So that's my one caveat. So what we've done over the last three parts of how to buy a business is we have figured out how to go get one, how to have those initial conversations, how to get a rough shape to a deal. And then we have figured out how to shape it a little finer based on the pressure points that both you and the potential seller are looking to address. And in this part, we've talked about, but what do you actually do? Tangibly, what do you do? And the idea would be that you would sit inside the business, you'd spend time with the business, you'd come up with a plan, and that you would set expectations as you go along so that you can make the most out of what would hopefully be a very successful transaction for you. So again, as I said in the last episode, and I'll say it in this one, there's a link somewhere that you can click to get in touch with me if you want to talk about your deal, if you want to talk about some of the things that I brought forward in this episode or in the previous episodes, I'd love to chat with you. Again, this is not my first rodeo. I've got lots of opinions. I am a deal guy, so there's lots of different ways to structure a deal, and no one's going to give you perfect advice. At the end of the day, you're the one doing the deal. So you've got to do a deal that makes sense to you. It doesn't hurt to have other people give you some feedback. And if I can be one of those people, I would love to. So thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you found this helpful. And I look forward to chatting with you when you purchase your next business.